Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me in no particular order are the players and their level 5 characters. Caleb.
My name is Caleb. I am playing,
Sorry,
my mic cut out, like, right before that, and all of a sudden it, like, powered on, and it was like, Caleb. It's like, oh, fuck.
In no particular order is Caleb.
Hello, I'm playing Kaito Atata. I'm a Warforged Barbarian, level 5.
Brayden.
Hey, I'm Brayden. I'm playing Beleg Dagar, and I am a Hexblade Warlock, also level 5.
Brandon.
Hey, I'm Brandon. I'm playing Ikaruk Poonschley. I'm a Bloodhunter Orc, level 5.
Tomo.
Hey, I'm Tomo. I'm playing Steve Tahuman, a level 5 Gloomstalker Ranger Boy.
P.S. We have a badger.
Chris Blick.
Oh, Chris Blick.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards.
As Krizblik passes the helm to Kaitoa,
I hacky sack it to Beleg. Beleg kicks it up in the air and fucking Ruck catches it.
That's exactly how it happened.
You guys hacky sack this helm, and Rook, he catches it. He balances it on the end of Bergen's blade.
Nice.
And you look at it curiously, Rook. There is no sign of, like, blood and sort of what you'd expect, especially from the one that Kaitoa, cleaved. I mean, Steve, you now also look at those foes that you brought down first. Two of them begin to stand up. And the very first one that you took down, Steve, and the second one that you took down stand up. And the first one, Steve, stands up with that dagger right through his face, unmoving.
Crap. I feel that crap too.
Oh, fuck.
They're now moving towards you, Steve, and they are starting to march away from you, party, towards the tables and the chairs.
Where is that free?
So, if they're... I just gotta ask, I mean, with my Crimson Rite, it's fire, right? So, would fire damage keep the ones that I've killed down?
Perhaps their corpses or whatever are still singeing and burning?
Or at least that type of damage.
Sure.
We on this will... type of adversary might help, right? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean, I guess as the scene unfolds, we'll see if those residual type of ongoing damage continues as it appears like the third guard or brown cloaked guard to go down on the stairway there that you took down, Kaitoa. All of you would see him start to stand up, and it is a frightening scene because he was almost cloven in two.
What's going on with the helmet? What about the helmet?
Well, I mean, helmet he's not standing. Or yeah, I mean, is he standing and crawling?
The guy with the helmet, did he get it up yet?
Kaitoa, you're turning around then and maybe hearing the footsteps behind you. He kind of looks like a, like somebody has taken a piece of wood out in the chopping yard and not quite split it the whole way through. He is literally standing in two pieces as his body wavers around.
But he's not bleeding?
I yell at Rook.
No, he's
not bleeding. Toss me the head.
Throw it back to him.
I'm going to, like, jam this head back on a body that Chris, like, found it from and see if anything changes.
Why are you putting him back? What? Why?
It is an empty helmet. In fact, the person you see coming towards you has a... So his head is intact. You took him in the shoulder. He looks at you with a wooden expression. I mean, his head is intact as he starts to come down the stairs towards you and Krizmlik.
Where is Nafri?
Come on, put the helm on.
Yeah, I put it on. Y'all.
I don't know. It's good. There's something. So the
me or him?
Steve, are you trying to shout from across the room to Kaitoa?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll throw on the helmet. I'll like put it on my head. It doesn't fit. It's like a yarmulke, and I'll just like hammer it. And I'll just stretch it out and try and fit.
Metal on metal sound.
Kaitoa, you are unable.
Just jam this helmet on, and it just like grenades and expands. Like it doesn't fit, but it's like this shitty tin can on my head.
Kaitoa, that is exactly what happens. You flatten this thing against your metal armor skull, and it splays out like you described. It was not meant for going over another helm. It seems to have no effect on the advance or the demeanor of these other two who start standing up, and most horrifyingly now, it appears that one right behind you, Rook, is standing up right in your 5-foot radius.
Let's grenade them into nothing.
Are there any that are still down and still have a helm on?
Yes, Belleg. The first, you know, lumped, rumpled carcass here that came out of the void, or sorry, that did not make it out of the void, is not coming up. And the bits of Eldritch blasted one that sort of made their way through the air to Kaitoa, but almost disintegrated. There's no trace of this body perking itself back up. But the third one that hit the banister there now begins also to move. And he lurches upwards right in your 5-foot vicinity, Kaitoa and Krizblik.
Does he have a helmet on?
He does. Only a few of these guys. The one with a dagger in his face from Steve doesn't have a helm.
Yeah, it's not the helmet, so just blast the fuck out of him.
Kaitoa, get out your poison.
Oh, the caustic.
Yeah, your caustic hammer.
And Rook, the one that stood up behind you seems to actually have a bit of ambient flame still circling around him. And can you actually roll 1d4?
Steve, it sounds like it's the finishing blow that matters the most, though. So you should still be able to chop him down a little bit.
3.
Okay. Be assured that this guy, you hear a crispy singeing behind you. You guys thought we were out of initiative. These guys roll badly. Luckily, it seems like they have sort of regenerative properties. As you hear a crisp burning behind you, Rook, you're going to take 16 plus 2, so that hits your AC. You are going to feel the blade of this guy giving you 6 damage as he comes at you right in your blind spot and deals you a mean blow with his blade.
So that's the guy that I've chopped in half?
Correct.
How the hell is he standing up?
And this guy, just like in order, the guys that Steve took down, the guys that you took down, he has stood up, and although he's still crispy and burning.
But he's chopped in half.
And wavering.
Almost chopped in half.
You see him still manage to stand and swing. Kaitoa, two of these brown-cloaked figures, the one that you clove almost in half and the one standing up from the banister, are going to 11 and 16. Well, the 16 is going to... Well, your AC is 16? Oh, are you 15?
Oh, 15. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, yeah, you're not a breastplate man. Okay, so... Yeah. And you're going to take...
Not a breastplate man.
10 damage.
It's an awesome cast.
Okay, so down to 5. And so the first fellow here, you rebut his attack. The second fellow lands damage here, but it is halved.
Rob, I really want to know if your death saving throw dream happen before or after you created this encounter?
As you look at the bodies,
inspired?
As you look at the bodies reanimating, would you like to roll perception, Beleg?
Mm-hmm.
And Steve, as you move around the half orc here, what'd you get, Beleg?
The natty one.
Wow. As you move around the half-orc, who, though he's a stout guy, he's pretty terrified here. He's run into the corner behind some stacked tables. These two come in towards your area here, Steve. Although they're not able to cover all the distance, you keep on moving just out of their way. Beleg, you scratch your head as you look upon these figures that have reanimated, and you cannot quite discern what their nature is. Yeah.
No, I cannot. So we've got five.
We are at the top of the order with Steve.
Okay. I'm putting more space in between me and these guys. As much as possible. Fuck it. I'm chucking. They're getting daggers. More daggers. So we're in the same combat.
It didn't actually finish?
It did not. And, throw versus AC?
Yeah, okay. So that is a 15.
I got anything to add to that?
How about
easy
an inspiration?
Okay, yeah, that'll do. Roll it again. Hopefully better.
Okay, that is a 17.
this will now hit, and this is not dagger face coming towards you, but the other guy... Well, no, you sent daggers into both their faces, so this guy has a helm with the hilt of one of your daggers coming out from the eye visor.
I'm going to put it in the other eyeball.
Okay. It's a tough shot, but roll damage.
That's my sharpshooter shot, so that's... that is a 17.
He staggers back, dead again. Do you have anything else? Do you have another couple shots?
Bonus action, Hunter's Mark on the guy behind him.
Okay, there's your Hunter's Mark.
I can throw is 16 plus 3.
That hits.
It's for 19 plus, so 23 points of damage.
And he's down again. Kaitoa, you are up. And Krizblik kind of circling around your feet like a little black and white land shark.
Okay, whoever's like the next guy closest to me that I can attack. I think that's the guy I jammed on the helmet from and turned and faced.
Well, there's the guy you clove in half, and as you look at him, yeah, he seems to be still wavering and managing to hold his sword and shield. That's the guy who I just put the little arrow token on. And then there's the guy who crashed into the banister, who looks a little bent and crumpled. And both of them within your axe range easily.
I would go for the banister guy with the cost hammer.
Okay.
I got the 18.
That hits.
8 plus. I got a 14.
That's with your one cost damage?
Yeah. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, plus enrage, 13, 14.
You take a crushing blow with your caustic warhammer, and it beats a path straight through his armor, leaving some nice singeing rusty marks behind. He seems to have been laid out on the ground. He's gone.
What is the state of his body?
So your hammer now has left a massive sort of bubbling acidic hole right in his, say, midsection. He's not moving.
So there's one guy beside me still, right?
One guy right beside you, right to your left of the guy that you just clobbered.
Would I get that extra attack because that guy died?
The rebound one, yeah, you would definitely get that.
know, it's you have to use a great weapon for that, though.
Oh, really? Right. Okay. But I at least get an extra attack.
It's oh, great weapon, yeah, because you have to have this heavy thing. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, where's the sirens from Britain?
Yeah. I at least I get a second attack, not because of
Just regardless.
Like, yeah, I just get one second attack.
You can line up another hit on this guy. It's the second guy.
18 to attack.
Okay, that hits.
Oh, not as good. 7.
7 damage.
Yeah.
With your caustic warhammer, you are going to see the same effect. You cleave right through this guy's shoulder, shield arm, and you actually take his arm clean off at the shoulder. And there is that same bubbling and an acidic glow from where your warhammer crashed through. Anything else?
I just want to move, but... No, I'm good. I'm going to stick by Crispa.
Yeah, Crispa comes up. Rook, you're up.
Well, I'm going to go after this jerk.
Same foe.
Mm-hmm. With my sword. It has been imbued. Not a good one. That's a 13.
You are not able to land a blow with your long sword. You're just unable to get this guy.
Well, then I'll use my extra attack there.
Yep.
We'll do again, and that's a 19.
Okay, you're going to connect with the second attack.
First one is a 4 plus 3, so that's 7. And then with the right damage, that's a 4. It's going to be an 11.
Nice, you maxed it on that D4. Okay, you take him down for a second time, Rook.
Yeah, I'm taking it
now. Okay. Now, your blade goes clean through this fellow's neck, and his head, helm and all, goes flying. And you have not left much of this guy. You've cloven him. He's singed away. His head goes flying across the room. Anything else?
Does he still have his sword and... in hand and everything, and his shield.
Oh, nice.
Can I take his sword away from him and throw it across the room, and I'm going to take his shield, too?
As a bonus action, yeah, I'd say you could wrestle away the shield and the sword quite easily. In fact, his hands, gloved hands here, seem inert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take the sword and throw it across the room, and I'm going to take his shield, and I'll hold it in one hand with my long sword in the other.
Beleg, as this scene unfolds in front of you, a second round of bodies being taken down, you see Rook just disarm this was not much left of a body. What are you up to? It's your move.
I'm going to Eldritch Blast the guy that Rook just took down. And far away is this shit. Which one was the guy that Steve took down?
The two over in the eastern side of the first floor here, the one with the hunter's mark on it, and actually they all have a whole bunch of daggers for eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta double check my... Oh, 120 feet. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
No, I Eldritch Blast the two... Both of the guys, not the one that Rook just down, but the two guys that Steve...
Yeah. Killed. Okay, these first two. Okay, so you're cleaning up from the top of the order. Nice. Okay, well, then you're going to shoot the bodies of these guys from all the way across. And I'm going to give you advantage because these guys are not moving. And you are shooting an Eldritch Blast.
Nope. The first one's a 23, so...
Don't need another roll on that.
My second roll was the exact same as my first roll.
Nice. All right, so...
I hit them.
Bella, you're able to just Eldritch snipe these guys.
Yeah. Nah, I just did 4 damage to each of them. Not much.
They're collapsed frames here on the ground as they get blasted by your ancient and arcane magic. Like that first guy kind of disintegrated... You now see parts of their armor, structure crumble away.
Oh, nice. I just yelled at the other guys and go, "You see that?" With the voice
back
crack.
In the back of the bar, like, "Yeah!"
I high-five the stone of near speech and hope that Steve hears the.
You say slow golf clap.
Yeah.
Are you high-five the stone of near speech, Beleg?
Yeah, yeah. So it'd be like a mic check, like a.
Oh yeah, that's going to be loud. So Steve, if you're holding that, you probably are hearing quite a loud popping noise.
Do it back.
I will low five. my returning stone.
Booyah.
Yeah. Anything else, Bella? You haven't moved. You just shot off a couple blasts. Read a book, have a smoke.
Well, I'll move right there just so anybody that comes close to me enters my attack.
Rainbow!
Right.
So you do a nice little electric slide over about 3 feet.
I like to think that I did it because of the force of my blast. Like, I just pushed myself back. Also, for theater of the mind, now that I do two blasts, it's not two out of one finger. I just got really good at doing, like, the pew-pew. Yeah, yeah. The old pew pew. Wait until I get the third blast.
Yeah. Okay. So, so Steve, yes, you would now. You'd now see those enemies in your immediate, you know, purview between the tables and the pillars. They don't seem to be getting back up, and they seem to have been seriously compromised this time round. However, from across the room near Rook and Kaitoa, two of these guys seem to be standing up again, and Rook. That crispy fellow, he's standing up for a third time. Crispy next fellow to you.
No head?
That's right.
No head, crispy fellow is standing up.
Oh, man. Rook must be getting pissed.
And then Kaitoa as well. This one guy right next to you as your, you know, axe is just, or your warhammer has just found its way to permanently dispatching a few. This one stands up next to you. So Steve, you see your party now with two of these reanimated adversaries.
Reanimator!
90 to 100 feet away from you.
Wait. One with no head and no sword.
Is he back up? This guy right here with the seeping eye?
As you go in close and look at their face quickly there, Steve, these daggers seem to be lodged in their face almost as if their face was wooden.
No, weird.
And you're now in range of these two adversaries who have stood up for a third time, right next to Rook and Kaitoa, Krizblik and Beleg, still just near the entranceway, the foyer of the White Chain. What a welcome.
Well, each of them is going... Oh, well, I guess I'll throw daggers again. I'm going to put these guys down. I want to... the one without the head, I guess I would like to do a little Steve hamstring special. A sharp shoot. Before I do that, though, I'm going to use my bonus action to throw a Hunter's Mark on this guy.
Mark him. He's got Rook's mark on him. He's got Steve's mark on him.
He's all marked up.
He's got no head. He's got more marks than body parts.
19
Marky Mark.
Oh, God.
I'm not dead yet.
All right, this guy's getting... This guy without the head, though, right? All the marks, no heads?
Correct.
So that is 4, 15, 19, 24 points of damage, and that is the hammy guy.
Okay, so Marky Mark gets your finds your daggers lodged into the back of his leg, trips and falls prone onto the ground in front of Rook, seems to be dead. What else, Steve? Another dagger coming?
Yeah, another dagger flying out at the other guy.
Okay.
If he's got a face, it's going to go into it.
Okay, it's tough to get a bead on this guy around Kaitoa, but you think you can do it, so throw that dagger.
Sharpshooter, there's no cover isn't an issue.
ignore the kind of three quarters cover that Kaitoa would do, you're going to find a spot.
Also rolled a three, so that's not going to hit.
Oh.
But with sharpshooter, cover isn't an issue.
My nice. Well, I'll still use the screen of Kaitoa. Kaitoa, you feel a ping off your back as you look upon this one guy who just got taken down to your right by a dagger to the leg. You would now be on deck.
Okay, so this guy beside me who just got hit in the leg, he's not the headless dude, right?
He is, yeah. Marky Mark is the headless dude.
Oh, Marky is, yeah. Alright, I don't know, who's the healthiest dude next to me?
None of these guys look healthy, but the guy, say, right in front of you is the only one up and actually physically moving.
Yeah, so he's going to get a big caustic hammer to the face. Ooh, 14.
That will not hit. What else you got?
Well, at the reckless attack, I get to attack twice.
Strike again.
Nope.
Kaitoa, as you are whiffing on air and your warhammer just does not find purchase here, yeah, this guy just sways a bit to the left, sways a bit to the right, and you're unable to connect. You're up, Rook.
God damn it.
Yeah, in front of you, Marky Mark.
Yeah.
Is at the moment not moving, but right behind you, I mean, you hear the whooshing of caustic hammer.
So the Marky Mark's down. Is everybody else down, or the guy's right in front of Kaitoa?
Yeah, I think there's just that one dude left.
Yeah.
Just got the visual left of the caustic hammer, and it's like Pearl Bill, Toxic Avenger, Sludge Mop.
Oh, it's like it's slanging like caustic goop everywhere. Yeah. As I swing and miss. Everyone's getting maced by this like pond water.
I from now on want to call it the Toxic Avenger.
Nice.
Just a giant mop.
This big, nasty, crusty mop.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to go after Marky Mark and thrust down.
We might be able to investigate, and like Marky Mark's pretty like,
but yeah,
helpless.
Except for he keeps fucking getting up. So
yeah, but he's got no head, and I don't think he has any arms anymore, does he?
Well, he's got arms, he just doesn't have a sword.
Yeah.
Yeah, alright, I'll do an Arcana check. Can I do an Arcana?
Yeah. So yeah, in your move here, if you want to roll a quick skill check, yeah, absolutely. Now, somebody rolled Arcana on the beginning of this. I think that was a 16, that was Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did do Arcana, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Beleg.
Yeah, I think Beleg and Steve rolled one.
Yeah, you guys at the beginning, you know, seeing these guards initially rolled Arcana, yeah, there didn't seem to be anything magical about them. Rook, you would recall that. Now, I think you might be looking at it in a different way. So, sure, roll Arcana now. So,
mine was Arcana. It was Insight.
Yeah,
For the guys talking and all that shit.
Right, okay. It was Beleg who did the Arcana as he crept up behind him.
So yes, 15, I did. 15 plus 4, 19.
Oh, 19. Again, there seems to be nothing magical about these, unless you consider animated armor golems magical.
Golem. Wink, 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 nudge, nudge.
Mm-hmm. How the fuck do you kill a golem?
And now you see what you've been fighting clearly has all of the physical markings of some animated material.
Can I do a history? See if I've ever seen a construct like this before?
Well, you'd be looking on, Kaitoa, as Rook, you know, instead of stabbing into this pile, this mess of a person in front of him, actually takes a minute back and looks on. Rook, is there anything else in your move?
Yeah, can I, I guess, do an investigation on the marking that of, like, the animated material that I see?
Sure. So I think this would kind of replace any attack roll, probably?
Probably, yeah. So I'll do that. That's a 12. 8 plus 4.
Well, it's clear in front of you, and as you've, you know, you got your sword stuck in one of these guys, and now you're really taking a look at them to make sure that what you have put down is going to stay down. And you look across the room to the helm that contains the severed head of Marky Mark, and you notice, yeah, it looks like he's got a wooden face.
Yeah, you mentioned wood.
Over, could they be mechanical components? Yeah, Rook, as you look on, it appears that under the armor and under, you know, the overlayers of brown cloak and linens these guys were in, they seem to have limbs made of wood and metal.
Hey, can I, is that...
Kaitoa, you got some explaining to do?
Well, yeah, I guess I'll turn and, or, well...
Belik still is up in line, so, I mean, he may take care of your problems for you.
Yeah. Ready my shield, either way.
Oh, yeah, you're still holding that guy's shield, eh?
Yeah, ready my shield and sword.
After you've poked quickly around across this, what looks like could be some sort of automaton, you poke over Marky Mark, there is one left, Belik. What's up?
All right. I'm going to walk over here. This fucker. And I'm an Eldritch Blast in place.
Just dropping all the Eldritch Blasts.
I debated using my Hexyglaive for flavor, but it takes an action to summon it, so...
You got to monitor that action economy.
Yep. I'm going to take inspiration.
Do it.
Oh, that's a nat 20.
Woo! Oh, it was worth it. Okay, wow. So are you lining up one blast for this last remaining foe?
Oh, he's getting two blasts at doublet damage.
All right, so as Belik, the warlock half-elf here, you manage to...
That's a 10, too. Fucking splintered him. As a cantrip, just did 20 damage. Woo.
Rook and Kaitoa, you look on as this guy... gets splintered.
Belik
eerie shrieking.
Blows off the tip of his finger. Finger gun style.
So we are we out of combat with one guy crawling around?
Kaitoa, as you survey around, you are out of combat. As all of you move closer in around the staircase and look carefully at these seven corpses, none of them now are displaying that creaking reanimation. All of them are in the little pieces in which you've left them. Although, Steve, you didn't really leave yours in pieces. They're just full of daggers.
Can I look at the heads and see if there's any kind of marking on, like, the temple or the forehead?
Belik would like to look for the other two. He still remembers nine being present in the square or in the street.
Okay, Belik, you start thinking about the total of these guys. Kaitoa, do you want to roll inspection on the the downed guard?
I'm looking for a branding of some kind. Sorry, you said inspection?
Investigation.
Yeah, okay. What do we got? 8. Yeah, not that good.
Okay, well, you would probably go over and you would actually notice that the one nearest to Rook has a runic E on it. So this one that the head was lopped off has a runic E on it.
Can I do a history to see if that E means anything?
You can roll history. What's everybody else doing?
Steve is checking over the corpses for any evidence or anything of interest.
I got a 15 for that history.
It means nothing to you, Kaitoa. It seems to have no historical significance to you. And Steve, as you're looking over the two that you put down, maybe as you take off their helm, they have like wooden faces, really, really well done. And they're painted as well, with skin tones very intricately. And you can see how these could totally be mistaken for real, underneath a helmet with a small visor. you don't see anything really other than their weapon, a fairly long-looking sword and this brown shield. They carry nothing, and indeed, Steve, you see that their limbs are wooden, and it seems like their, I guess you'd call it their bones, their skeletons are of metal.
Okay, guys, there's something different. Like, these guys are metal skeletons with wood outside. This isn't what I am.
They're the opposite of you.
Yeah, these are false creations. These are servants. These things don't live. These are servants. Someone commanded these.
Now,
where are the other two?
They're being commanded. Instead, something is commanding them, which possibly or probably means that the guy in the safe is of calling them to him or sending them some sort of message.
That's what I figured when...
not held in that...
yeah,
whatever it is anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's what I figured when they said that he Naffer would summon them.
Steve's I asked for them.
What he's up to upstairs.
Your mind, collectively party, is starting to think about whom you have upstairs, and Beleg, you're very concentrated on perhaps the remaining these remaining guards.
Very much so.
The guy locker.
Let's see what the two guys are doing up in the safe right now. If they're moving, if they're like standing still, like with.
Okay, you guys want to walk upstairs to the second floor of the White Chain?
My concentration to check on humanoids.
Okay, you can take a minute, Steve, and you will know at the end of this minute, you know, where your humanoids are in the building. Rest of the party.
Where are my humanoids at?
Who here feels like a human? Who here feels like an animal? I should have waited for the second one.
That conversation has all my votes for the episode title, by the way.
Welcome, friends, adventurers, and listeners to The Break. Thank you, as always, for listening to the show. We hope you are enjoying our Season 2 finale. Firstly, allow me to introduce Top of the Round, an actual play D&D podcast.
Hi there, I'm Kenan, and I'm the DM for Top of the Round. We are a homebrew, character-driven, actual play podcast, fueled by the power of D&D 5e. What happens when a naive druid, an orphaned monk, and a mysterious drow elf are roped into becoming a mailman for a goddess?
Join Talus.
As you know, my bosses aren't the most merciful people.
Chaz. Hey, do you guys know where I could find a map of everywhere?
And Seku.
We might as well try. It's the worst thing that could happen is we could die.
Find us wherever you listen to podcasts. Episodes drop every Monday. Hope to see you soon.
Please check out Top of the Round. Secondly, an update on our Team 100 challenge. The party is almost halfway towards crossing off every skill and ability on every character sheet. Will they reach level 6 before or after they complete DM Robulon's epic challenge? Finally, I'd like to talk to you about giving thanks. It's easy to speak these words aloud, but a real thank you is about much more than just two words. The Onomancers, wizards who master the magic of names, say that the words thank you, when spoken true, have a power that can bind people together and increase the vitality of both the thanker and the thanked. So, thank you, listeners, for joining in our adventure. We hope you've enjoyed the story so far. Season 3 will commence Wednesday, November 6th, 2019. And now, without further delay, we return to the finale of Dungeons & Blackguards, Season 2, episode 21, All Marked Up.
Okay, you guys want to walk upstairs to the second floor of the White Chain?
My concentration to check on humanoids.
I guess while he's
doing that, I'm looking around for the other two, because obviously he couldn't detect them.
Yeah, so Bella, you feel like as Steve is going into his meditative mode here that he's not gonna get a read on these
on the golem,
these animated things, because okay, yeah, right. So you would be able, Beleg, to walk around to the bar side if you wish. Oh, there's Shorva and Porco, sort of hiding in the back.
I apologize to them.
Okay, as you go into the back.
This may seem weird, but this is normal for us.
Yeah.
Porco does not turn around. He seems to be ignoring the situation. He's making repairs. You would have noticed, Beleg, to that back door area that you might not have seen yet. And Shorva there over her clipboard, she looks up as you apologize and says,
"It's not that I'm worried about. That mess in the grand staircase. What'll we do? The carpets."
"Oh, we'll fix that, Shorva. Don't worry."
Tick-tock, you murderous new owners. Brunch does not wait for bloodshed. 3.5 weeks and counting, no?"
"Yes, we've got plenty of time."
"These guards, I suggest you get upstairs. Two more, I think. Went up there."
"Thank you. I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to beckon Kaitoa and Rook with me, and I'm going to tell Shorva to tell Steve to come up as well once he's done warging out."
"Yep, I'm like right behind him."
"Yeah.
I'm with."
In the second floor of the White Chain, it looks like a couple of, candles have been lit. In addition to all the light streaming in from outdoors, the big chandelier is lit. And Steve, as you just come out of your 1 minute trance there, the party is making their way up the grand staircase.
"Making my way downtown, walking fast, fast, and I'm home now."
And you're able to get that Nafri and Freddy Fingers, that nice warm human glow, and you feel Porco in the building there at the back, repairing that back entrance still. There's that half-orc worker who's now gone back, actually, to moving tables around. These folks actually do not seem too disturbed with what has just happened as you guys move upstairs. So that would be
loving the dynamic light upstairs, by the way.
That'd be your feeling there, Steve.
With the two in our VIP room, what are they up to though? Are they moving? Are they just
Nafri that stands motionless in a corner? And Freddy sits in the opposite corner, like leaning against the wall. It appears like he might be looking at one of the walls more than another.
Yeah, I hurry up with the rest of the guys then.
Okay, so you're at the top of that staircase as well. You guys remember the way to the winding, the little small staircase to the owner's level? Beleg wanders off in the complete wrong direction.
He was exploring. He's looking for
Beleg,
guards.
You're going to take a surprise attack for... That's going to not hit. You feel a glancing blow off maybe some of your shoulder armor as one of these guards dashes out in his brown cloak flowing. Rook and Steve, you would totally see this.
Do I roll initiative?
You guys, you will immediately be first in initiative, Bella, because nobody else is in range.
All right.
See him through the pillars.
Oh, yeah, look at you, Steve. You can just see him. Oh, that's neat.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, I got the sun as a lighting effect from outside now, too. Look at all those crisscrossing shadows. That's cool.
It is cool. Love it. I love the pillars.
Okay, Rook, you are trying. You have covered all the distance as the half-orc dashes forward here. Beleg, what are you doing as you just narrowly miss an attack?
I'm going to try and Eldritch Blast him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck. That's not a good one.
And if at first you don't succeed, blast again.
So that's a 12.
That does not hit, and your Eldritch Blast is unable to kind of formulate and does not gain enough momentum. This is close range combat here, and I guess you just can't get the invocation out.
And can I light him up from where I'm standing?
Steve and Rook and Kaitoa, can you all roll a quick initiative?
Hell yeah, because I can see that dude.
All right, time to roll a quick Negroni.
I got a 13.
Okay, 18, 13.
Stolas. I go at the same time as Stolas.
Okay. And Rook?
14.
Okay, so yeah, Steve, you can act right now. What you going to do?
What about Chris Blake?
I'm going to stick, or I guess, who goes first, me or Stolas?
Stolas.
Stolas on him.
So you'll have advantage.
Then I'm going to put some daggers in that dude.
Okay, so is your owl familiar? You summon him out. Send him in. Daggers come flying in rapid succession. Roll versus AC. As you guys clear the second floor here, Beleg, unintentionally, yeah, one of these guys, you just stumbled right into him. As you approached, like, one of the big, probably most luxurious chambers in the White Chain.
Okay, so first one hits for sure, because it was a 19.
Whoa, through the pillars. You managed to get this guy and roll damage?
19 damage. Did it go through the neck?
It seemed to have, but he is not down.
So his head's come off?
His head has not come off. You feel like that dagger's probably lodged right where a normal person would have, like a jugular.
Yeah. Okay. I've got two more attacks. So the second one came in at a 20.
Okay, that hits.
That is 16 damage.
This, brown cloaked figure has now hit the floor right at your feet. Beleg, anything else, Steve?
Nope, that's it. That's
okay.
It
so Stolas has swooped in. You shot a couple daggers. Kaitoa and Rook, sorry, who is next?
I had a 14.
I believe I beat him.
Yeah, I think he had a 16. So yeah, Kaitoa, you are next. Yeah, you're just out of range, but you can see this guy diagonally across.
But if
staircase.
I throw a javelin, could I not
nice.
Because I'm pretty.
No, not the javelins.
Whatever. I picked it up from that cart. I remember saying, "I'm gonna grab my javelins back," and whatever. What else am I gonna do from here?
Chuck it, buddy.
With the Toxic Avenger, and then throw the javelin with the goo on the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Anointed. Yeah.
So I'm just like trying to strike a match with a javelin on a hammer.
What else am I gonna do? Watch you guys do this?
Of course, so I'm gonna throw the javelin. Do you want to try and anoint your javelin with some of the acidic spray that your caustic hammer drips?
Sure, it's gonna miss either way. So
well, fuck, let's do it. So what you do is, yeah, kind of like two giant matchsticks, you kind of touch metal to metal, and as you do, your caustic hammer kind of lights up like it does when it hits armor and flesh, and sure enough, it starts eating into the head of your javelin, and your javelin is now bubbling away.
Sold. And I huck it. Oh. Okay, so do I still get the same attack bonus for the javelin?
Sure. Proficiency plus strength, because
yeah, javelin. Yeah.
So you're hitting d20 plus 5 is usual for you.
Plus 6.
6? Oh yeah, your level. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so 19.
You have hit with the javelin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Whoa!
Hit him with the matchstick.
not only that, but yeah, the bubbling caustic point drives itself into this body. and it looks like, you know, Rook, as you see this lance fly in, it looks like the body in front of you, yeah, now has a gaping hole kind of appearing and sputtering away as the lance finds its target. Amazing.
And it's a D6 for javelins.
Deal damage.
A 3 is there...
Plus three.
Six.
So, yeah, in many ways, it appears that this killing blow that Kaitoa has dealt, has sort of prevented this body from being serviceable still. And as you turn around, Rook, to see where that javelin is being thrown from, you're just able to make out another guard dashing out at Steve. And Steve, can you make a dexterity saving throw?
That is a 23.
Well, let's see. You are able to bob out of the way as this brown-cloaked guard lurches forward. And Rook, there is now, as you turn around, one guard just in your range.
All right, well, then I will attack with full force.
He's going full force.
You dashing up there, Rook. Roll. Are you dual wielding, or you still got that long sword?
Long sword.
Okay. So you two handed.
Well, yeah. I guess I'll flip my shield around as I'm running and go two handed on this biznatch.
So that'll be roll against AC. Was it D20 plus 6?
Oh, it's an 11 plus 6. 17.
That hits, and then that'll be what, a D.
D10 and a D4. Because I still got my Crimson Rite. My Crimson Rite doesn't go away until I make it fade. Or, essentially until I make it fade. So on the sword, it's an 8 plus 3, so an 11. And then on my Crimson Rite, it's just a 1, so 12.
12 damage. Okay, your especially sharp blade here, you thrust it right into... Where do you think you're thrusting?
Oh, I'm going for the head again.
That neck gap?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're able to get right into that neck gap, and you see Bergen's blade go clean through from front to back. And again, your blade is stuck.
I'm going to, I guess, pull it out. Do I need to do strength?
Give me an old boot push again. Give me an old strength boot push. Anything over 10, I'll take it.
Oh... 11.
Okay, and you're able.
That's a 8 plus 3, so.
You do it.
Yeah, just. And then I can still have my extra attack or movement, right?
You've definitely moved your max.
Well, not movement. I mean, I guess just action, right?
Yeah, bonus action, yes.
Yeah, so I'm guessing from my investigation on the previous bodies of the mechanical, me seeing what their mechanical makeup is, I can decipher vital, or I've deciphered vital components of their, like, their body, make some tick.
Let's say you're starting to get how these guys are connected together. Yep. What makes them battle operative?
Okay, can I go for the, I guess, control center? Or what I figure is the control center with my second attack?
Yeah, sure. What do you figure? What does Rook think that would be?
Well, whatever mechanical makeup that I've investigated to find what makes them tick, right? So I guess I would be like the heart area. Like,
if you're thinking heart... Or the center torso, you could certainly stab the shit out of that.
All right, well, I guess I'll rage stab that.
Rage stab.
16 plus 6, so 22.
Yeah, that'll hit.
I'll do my little combo dice here. So on the sword, I got a 5 plus 3, so 8, and then a 4 on my Crimson Right.
Oh, 12. Oh, shit. Okay, so you've taken this guy down as you pierce him right through the chest and dump him right beside Steve there. He is down, but as you know, probably not out.
That wasn't his little control center then.
And Krizblik is up. Krizblik the badger.
Yeah.
Now, Krizblik is just out of attack range.
What's Krizblik's movement?
30 feet.
Or like a 60-foot sprint, I guess.
Yeah, you could dash. Somebody's got to put this guy down.
Oh, yeah. I think she can get there in 50.
Oh, shit. Is it Krizblik or Belleg? No, sorry. It's Belleg before Krizblik.
Thought so.
B's before K's. Yeah, sorry. No, Belleg. As you see this guy crumple to the ground.
Can I see him?
You would... Well, let's see. Let's hit my view on you. No, you actually... All you see is Steve and Rook and your view of what they had been attacking is just obscured by one of the pillars.
Okay, that's 30 feet there. Now yep. I can see it.
Bingo.
All right. Eldritch Blast that fucker. That's a... 12 plus, I think 12 plus 6, yeah, 18.
Nice. Okay, well, you hit this, you know, lump of mannequin or whatever it is on the ground with your Eldritch Blast. Roll damage.
10 damage.
Oh, I'm nice. Well. And that will elicit the same effect you guys have seen before when these constructions, these automated guards seem to, you know, be finally put to rest. And you see some of the wood disintegrate and the metal sort of twist and bend. And this lump is now inert. And you feel like this guy is not getting up anymore. And Belleg, you would now say to yourself...
9.
Exactly. So, does anybody remember how to get up to the third floor?
Can we all just, like, slump down for an hour now?
And although you did, you know, clear the second floor here on the western wing near Kaitoa over to... Sorry, to the eastern wing near to Kaitoa. There you go. And Steve, you lead the party along the corridors to the staircase where there is a door, just as you left it, that very secure door to the third floor.
That must not have taken very long in the grand scheme of things.
Say 15 minutes, including the walk upstairs and the engagement with the final two brown cloaked guards. So now it's about 12:20 at the very latest.
I think we should take a short rest.
Do you want a healing circle?
I want my spell slots. Those are the important thing to me.
We gotta take an hour's rest?
We don't have to. I just like... We have time to still interrogate Nafri and take an hour's rest before the suggestion wears off.
The lock to our third story door.
And are you guys opening up the door to your owner's level for a little nappy nap?
Yeah, I'll have to take out the key and unlock her and let her in.
Steve wants to pick the lock.
Steve, as you go to pick the lock, Rook probably just pushes you aside and uses his key.
Oh, that's no fun.
And you guys are back in your little clubhouse.
Nice.
How do you guys feel about taking a short rest?
Well, I need one because I'm gonna duel with some fucker and I'm down hard.
You other two okay with it?
I can't dance on this table in the meantime.
The construct goes up onto the main little table that you guys have here in the middle of the room here. And you guys haven't really moved any of the furniture around. It's just as when you found this abandoned third floor to the restaurant hotel of the White Chain. And Kaitoa's doing little table dancing. Steve, you go over to one of these closed doors in the corner. And it looks like you've happened upon like a little storeroom with a couple of barrels and crates in it. And as you survey, there are no signs of infiltration to the third floor. Steve, you've done a pretty clean sweep now of the third floor. And you can look out the windows and see out into the daylight out here into Polb. And it's quite a beautiful afternoon.
I guess we're going to rest.
You guys are down for it. I could use it.
I need to.
that hunger of Hadar took a lot out of me. And by a lot, I mean 50% of my spell slots.
Tasty little healing spirit area to walk through.
Can they keep popping and locking?
Steve, you keep on mentioning your healing area. You guys are talking about naps, okay? And as you walk into the room here, anything else on anybody's mind?
Steve, your healing aura would be good, but it would burn one of your spell slots, right?
Yeah, to be honest, with my love, like the other spells that I have, it's basically like Pass Without Trace. I don't think we're going to need that. And then Rope Trick, so...
That's fair.
If we don't need to burn it, it's fine. Yeah, because then I can use...
Yeah.
I don't think we do need to. If we've got the time.
Yeah, it's fine.
So we are, like, facing constructs, right?
everyone else noticed that, right?
They're animations.
Like, either way, they're, like, within side. Like, there's no, like, human inside them.
You're living, though. They seem like they were magically imbued.
And that's all we've run into before, is, like, everyone saying there's got to be, like, a tiny person inside of that.
Oh, yeah, Nafri got some splaining to do.
This isn't, like, a mech warrior. No, this is an actual robot with wood skin, as opposed to me, who's, like, a wood robot with metal skin.
Kaitoa and party, as you start to talk constructs, whoever went over those papers would remember a couple of them that you weren't able to look at the last time in Nafri's office. And I suppose, Beleg, you knock on Kaitoa's chest and maybe ask him to your file cabinet friend to spit out some of those documents, because something that Kaitoa is talking about all of a sudden reminds you of something you saw in Nafri's most pertinent papers.
Oh, this fuck.
They're trying to build me.
They're trying to make...
Buddy.
Yeah, they're trying to make this. They want some of this luscious bod.
They want
bod.
Some of that.
They want what I got.
It looks like they're trying to find a way to build...
To recreate,
Golem or a construct. And they don't know what it's fueled by and how it's powered. And apparently they've come up with some system of a mechanized robot covered in wood. But the
Spirit Forge is interesting me quite a bit.
Yeah, but they can't figure out how to make it alive from within with a metal outside. They can do a metal inside with a living outside, but not the other way around.
What the great turning was?
Yeah. Oh, does Caleb know? Or, I mean, Kaitoa?
You could all roll history on that term.
Oh, yes. Not that good.
That's an even roll.
The great turning being, I imagine there's some, like, how did you get a spirit inside of an inanimate object? Like, that great turning of, like... humanized being into metal.
I rolled a 12.
Got a 14.
12, 14.
You said history?
Yeah.
18.
18.
Nice.
14.
You would all be familiar with the terminology of the ancient, 10 or 12,000 year old catastrophe event that in many cultures almost, acts as a reset of civilization. So this is from a period eons ago called the Great Turning.
Just pure chaos?
Yeah, from a period about 10,000 years ago. And who rolled highest there?
Rook.
Rook, the half-orc noble who always seems... I mean, you must have been trained in blade and in spear and in bow and lectured on history and arcana. I mean, our young friend Rook here, what are you, like 15 years old?
Yeah.
Despite that, you clearly had quite the upbringing. You're no lore master, but you'd also know that, 10,000 years ago, this was the time when, true elves... were around. And, even the time of what they say was the last of the race of dragons. So, I mean, we're talking ancient history, and the Great Turning brings up all of these thoughts. So, you know, Kaitoa, your thought of, is this a metaphor? It doesn't seem that way from a historical perspective. This seems like a reference to an actual time period.
Hmm. Oh, Nafri, you got some explaining to do.
No kidding. You would have opened up your file cabinet front piece there, Kaitoa?
Yeah.
As that happens and you guys are now settling in for, I mean, there's only a couple hours, and Beleg, you're starting to really think about Nafri, your captive in there. There is one more piece of information, this paper that falls out. And Rook, you're the first one to grab onto this. It seems to be a very neatly written list of names. What are you seeing here?
Looks like a hit list.
They're all crossed off.
Poonchlay on there, too. G. Poonchlay.
Is there a Poonchlay on there? I didn't even notice.
This G. Poonchlay.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Rook's dad?
Old Poonchlay.
Yeah, Mr. Poonchlay.
Mr. Gigantic
Mr. Poonchlay to us. I call the king of Ponchin Rook's dad.
Poonchlay.
Derek Poonchlay.
Old Gary Poonch.
Haven't seen my pops in a while.
Well, it looks like he might be dead.
Better not be.
Old Gary's got some red ink through him.
Yeah, he's crossed out there, Rook. If you could, we'd like to question Nafri before you try.
I'm sure Nafri has an answer.
Yeah.
Nafri also has 10 fingers.
And I...
Yeah, we could change that.
I'd love to lower that count.
No somatic components are a real bitch.
Okay, so you guys doing your short rest before or after you do anything else? I mean, your doorway to the Hurt Locker, your safe, is steps away. You've closed the door. You guys are, you know, secure as much as you can be. Downstairs, you did lock the front door, Rook. You were careful before you engaged with these guards to lock that door. So, yeah, what order are you guys cooking things up in, please?
I'd like the short rest immediately. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I need to short rest as much as this information angers me.
And I need my spell slots back if we're about to take a guy who had 9 animated guards.
Yeah, I'm too banged up. I'm already probably passing out in the corner.
I'm going to sit in front of the Hurt Locker just begging to get inside at this guy.
Kaitoa, you should be like weaving up some pretty intense rope with which to tie his hands.
Yeah, after seeing Poonchlay, yeah, on that list, I'm begging to get in this door.
Loyal Kaitoa. Steve, are you down with a short rest?
Sure. It doesn't do anything for me, but
sorry, but well, you don't technically have to if you wanted to do something else.
Yeah, no. I don't need this short rest.
Stay on watch.
Yeah. Can we play Bad Cop Wild Badger?
Anybody taking a short rest there as you guys figure out what's going on? Because in a short rest, you can talk, converse, read, you're tending to wounds and stuff.
Yeah.
Rook, the one thing you notice about your wounds is those terrible sucker marks from the tentacled horror.
Yeah.
They seem to have miraculously almost, you know, healed, and that infection has not seemed to have taken. As you kind of look over your own damage, and boy, you are just a mess. But roll some hit die. Everybody taking a short rest.
I'm gonna try and get a little more control over Chris Black.
All right, I'm back up to full hit points and two spell slots, which are fucking imperative to me.
What'd you roll there, Rook? Kaitoa, were you rolling hit die? Steve, were you rolling hit die?
Nope, I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm back to full.
Well, before I do that, I've got to actually fade my Crimson Rite. I'll get my full hit die back. I get back 5, so I'll be back at 49. And then I'm going to have to roll a couple hit die here, I think, which are, I believe, are D10. Yeah, so I got 5 to roll, so first one is going to be, and when we do our hit die, it's just the straight up hit die that you're getting, right? You're not adding anything to it.
Roll the die and then you get
plus
your bonus.
Constitution?
Is that your con bonus when you're healing on a short rest?
Was it con?
That's hit die plus con bonus.
Yeah.
Okay, so that one, first one's plus 7. So I was at 27. Second one is 8. So that gives me 33.
The nice part about having very small hit points is that I get back to full really easily on a short rest.
Second one, third one is this 5 plus 2.
How many hit die do you get?
5.
Wow. You get 1 hit die per level.
I'm up at 40.
Holy fuck.
During this hour, then, Steve, did you take any other action? Are you doing anything else on this third floor?
I feel like you're just picking the lock the whole fucking time.
I took one.
You took a hit die? Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'm just messing about, rummaging through things.
Okay. Can you roll investigation? Is this Steve's little bunk where you are in the front overlooking the plaza?
Yeah, the one that's by the window that you can climb out.
Yeah, exactly. The one by Bartillo's old office.
Yeah.
Oh, in fact, Bartillo.
On the,
Yeah, and you can crawl out there, that's right. Yeah. What'd you get on that investigation, Steve?
10. I got a 10.
A 10. As you go out onto the roof here, Steve, and while nobody's kind of looking, you notice there are 2 other windows. The footprint of this area that you guys have here only covers half of the third floor of the White Chain. And Steve, as you go over, you notice it's boarded up, except for a couple little cracks in, but there seems to be almost an equal-sized enclosure room on this side. And that's what you'd notice.
Can I put Stolas on the other side?
Find a secret room?
I can de-summon him, portal him out, and then portal him 30 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna portal him into the room. This on the other side of the boards.
Okay.
I can kind of see. I can see what he sees, so I guess that's.
And Steve, although Steve Tahuman there is sitting on the outside of the shingled rooftop there, Stolas has been summoned in to what is the other side of the third floor of the White Chain. And it is long abandoned and derelict. It seems to have a couple of raised platforms. There's a target over in the far corner. There seems to be a chest and some crates. And then there's some windows looking out on the far side. And then the windows that Stolas can now see you through on the other side of the glass there. And as Stolas flies about the rafters, Kaitoa, you have noticed your ranger boyfriend has disappeared. This window is too small for hulking Kaitoa to get out of, but you clearly see, Steve out there, and he seems to be tapping the glass, and there's Stolas on the other side.
Yeah, I see him.
Yep.
Moving around.
And Stolas now has returned. Having given you a pretty clear lay of the land, nobody's in there. It's this empty room.
It kind of looks like a training room of some sort. I am going to see what I can do here. And
Kaitoa, you're kind of back exploring Bartillo's office. And Kaitoa, you are now near the foot pedal of the safe. And guys, you all of a sudden hear a dim metallic knocking.
What?
And it is from the safe door.
Rot raw.
I bang back.
Okay, Toa, you have moved into the safe room and you are banging back, and you can just hear a voice through there.
I'm not doing good in here. It smells like feces and I'm hungry.
It's Freddy.
welcome to your new life. Shut your mouth, and you might make it out. It's a circle of life.
That's not the circle of life I've ever heard of. The air is very stale. It's not good in here.
I can let you out in 1 second if you want.
Oh, is that the construct?
Yeah, you remember me?
Help! Is there anybody else? Anybody?
Okay, all is quiet now.
Is our short rest over yet?
Yes.
Okay.
So as you guys came out of your short rest is when you noticed that Steve had been exploring out of doors.
Yeah, Steve, what the fuck did you find?
And Bellic, you're able to creep out this window. It is the other side of the floor plan layout of the third floor here. And you're looking into these really dusty windows, and there's Stolas on the inside of the window, kind of perched on the window frame. And Steve and Stolas, they're kind of taking stock of Steve. What'd you think it might be that you're looking at?
Some sort of training area.
Yeah, the target. I'd like to look inside those crates.
My short sword is being used to pry the wood off the window.
Kind of lift and pry up where it might open.
Yeah, enough that I can make a space to climb in.
Okay, yeah, it's been boarded up, but as you pry it open, you're now able to just lift it up, and although it's old and it's been many times nailed shut, you're now opening it with a lot of effort, but it is now pushing past all this creaking part, and nope, now it is open enough for you to creep through.
Do a strength check just to get that out of the way.
I don't think it's strength. The only thing about this window is it's actually probably on like rope levers. So as it got pushed up, I mean, it's actually a well-designed window, just like the one you came out of. I would just worry about it maybe coming down.
Well, I can use the I can jam my short sword in between the bottom of the
A fantastic idea. How long is your short sword?
Long enough to party.
Probably two.
I guess 2 feet. Two feet's like it's great. A very long.
Okay. This will keep this heavy window open, and yeah, you've managed to pry off little pieces of wood that kept it closed. You've raised it up. You've put your sword in there. And Bellag, you look on, and Steve is now almost at like phase two of a nice B&E.
I'd like to follow him.
Okay, Rook, you and the Badger now are really the only ones left, and you're just in the middle of the room here. You're seeing Kaitoa move back and forth between the plaintive knocks intermittently that are coming from the safe. I mean, the last thing Kaitoa said was that if whoever was in there behaved, he might let him out. And so you have heard nothing since.
The other two are gone. I don't really want to go. Bella or Steve, they're kind of on their own thing. So I'll just hang back with Kaitoa and
I bang on the door and be like, how'd you like to live?
A lot, definitely. Put me down for one of those. My name's Freddy, and I'm for life.
Well, Freddy.
Well, we're pro-choice.
You're not going to leave this building ever. But how you like to live and work for us?
Oh?
You'll have a great life, but you won't leave this building.
There was talk episodes ago, the nice man in your party who almost set me free and said maybe I could be a man on the inside. I see you've got this administrator Nafri here simply bewitched and I'll do anything.
Right there, Freddy. The fact you just said what was going on, that's why you'll never leave.
Oh, dear. Well, I have a great ability to never, ever see you guys again. Just let me go free, and I'll run off to the Eastern Islands.
Oh, don't worry. I have a great ability for you never to see us again either. Don't worry about that.
Help!
You have no weight in gambling here, Freddy. I will decide how you get out of here.
What is this commotion? During inspection, I require silence.
And Kaitoa, you hear the voice of what must be Nafri. You have disturbed whatever he was doing in there.
Excuse us, sir. We're just cleaning. We're servants.
Very well, then. Hours and hours I have still to inspect this very important corner. Now leave me be.
That's all the silence on the other side.
Rook, we gotta get Freddy out of there.
Yeah. Well, when we do, what the fuck do you want to do with him? Just hog tie him in the corner or something?
There was talks of him being our new Reek.
Yes, there were talks of him being our new Reek.
Has he been trained enough to be a Reek?
I'm pretty sure.
I had a wonderful conversation about if it works.
Me and him will be really good friends.
I'll go lock the door or make sure the door to the upstairs is locked so that way he can't try to bolt and you can open it up and let him out.
We might want to consult the others before this happens.
But yes, I think we need to separate those two before Freddy fucks up this whole Nafri situation.
Great. So Construct and Half-Orc and the Badger will cut from you guys. Yeah, Beleg and Steve, you've now looked over the all four walls. It's a very odd shaped room here, and you guys almost do get the impression that, you know, the division between the western and the eastern rooms, called the third floor here, is simply arbitrary. Like, there's a wall has been erected, and this attic level here clearly has two sides, and you've found, Steve, a large chest. This one is almost identical to the one in Nafri's chamber. The only difference here is that it appears to be in a sort of like a shipping sort of crate, specifically designed to prevent it from being opened. And most importantly, you don't see the locking mechanism and any of that stuff. You know, there's 2x4s all around it. And Beleg, you've happened upon what is it? Looks like this huge wooden wall, almost 12 feet long and 5 feet deep, and there are a couple of these huge crates that lead up to it, as well as mannequins that look like a sparring mannequin.
Can I take a closer look at this crate that I'm in front of?
Sure, you want to roll on it or something?
Sure.
Okay.
I rolled a 6, so pretty standard.
As you roll on this, Beleg, you think it might not store anything. It actually looks like it might just be solid through and through. If anything, you think it might look like a big acrobatics equipment.
That's probably all
you glean from that. Beleg and Steve, in this dark and dusty side here.
Yeah. I'm also very intrigued by this room, but I think time sensitivity would put Nafri first.
Yeah, I'm going to wait for the rest of the party to get back and again suggest that we need to separate these two and do some interrogating.
I want to interrogate Nafri.
Yeah, I definitely think we need to get both these guys away from each other in separate rooms. And
could I roll one final investigation on that chest?
Yeah, sure.
I kind of want to... There's 2x4 all around it, you said, right?
Yeah, it's sort of encased. You can still see sort of probably about 75% of the surface, but the way it is encased specifically prevents you from even, you know, seeing the seam of the lid to the base and seeing the locking mechanism.
Okay. Could I roll Arcana on it then?
Yes.
Fuck. That's an 11.
There's nothing, you know, again, there's nothing that you would see in this moment, Beleg, that lends any magical aura or knowledge. Nothing is different in your opinion of this item, other than the fact that it was just earlier this morning that a very similar chest was a big part of your guys' post-breakfast adventures.
Duly noted.
And that, friends and adventurers, is where we'll leave you tonight.
I hit someone with a javelin. About that. The fact that, like, Nafri said, like, keep it down and quiet. I'm trying to conduct an investigation or, like, to check this room. It's more like, oh, fuck, Freddy could fuck this up. If we can interrupt Nafri, then Freddy can interrupt Nafri. And it was like, oh, fuck, we got to get this guy the fuck out of there.
Well, we got to get to Nafri.
Where there is a door.
Okay. Thank God. I think I saw someone else.
Yeah, boy, what? That would have been scary. And party, ooh, you just saw Steve dash around the, what would it be? And Beleg, you fly out a window. So just at the corner. There you go. And Rook and Kaito, you guys are flying out windows too. I haven't found a way to correctly show. I gotta think about that.
What's a window?
Yeah, window versus a door.
Yeah.
Okay, so
crits don't do anything for spell attacks, do they?
I imagine you just roll your damage dice twice, like everything else.
Yeah, if the spell is one that deals attack dice, then yes.
Well,
double your roll.
We've been playing.
I realized today that I was like, wow, we've gone 3 episodes at level 5 and none of us have used our double attack yet.
Yeah.
So I'm really stoked that we got to fight.
And it wasn't even big, but yeah.
It was still a fun fight, though. I like the regenerative plot twist. No, that was a fun D&D night. It was worth the week wait.
Yeah.
If Steve did send his owl into whatever it is there, you know, into Pole Plaza, I'm sure you guys would see a spectacular $3 million scene just waiting there.
Fuck.
Do you guys want to get a glimpse of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
There's got to be a reward for staying this late.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. So what I'll do is I have the Stolas be controlled by everybody. So this should work in that I'm going to drop you into Pole Plaza. And do you see Pole Plaza?
Yes.
Okay. So just don't move Stolas around.
Oh, that statue is fucking awesome.
Fucking millions of extras. So. As Steve dispatches Stolas out, you would see the giant statue of Bergen there in the middle of Pole Plaza, and already a huge crowd beginning to assemble. There is a sign over South Main Street, and it is painted, and it says, "Assuredly,"
execution is on today. There are the same pieces that you saw the day before, the intricate gallows, the stage and the stands where the nobles sit, the mayor's tent, and a 50-foot diameter arena laid out and flanked on all sides by both the watchmen of Hugo Castle and soldiers of the quartermaster.
Fight, fight, oh, fight, fight, yeah. Fight, 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 fight.